Okay, this is Shelley Drummond, and I am here with Harika Oz, and she is from Ankara, Turkey. And it is June 4th. We are in Bowling Green, Kentucky right now, and we have talked about the release form.
Yes.
But tell me a little bit about Ankara.
Well, Ankara is the capital city of Turkey, and very old city actually. There are lots of historical things. And population, I think around 5 million today, or maybe 6, I don't know. So I lived there for 16 years.
How does it compare to Bowling Green?
Oh God, there is no way to compare. I mean, the city size like Bowling Green, we call village.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, Bowling Green is not a city. It's a village for me.
Did you live in a home or an apartment? Or
apartment. It's apartment? Especially in that area, plus Europe, it's hard to live in a home now. It's almost impossible. Too many people, small land, so apartments and apartments like 10, 20, 50 floors, something like that. But I live 5-floor apartments.
Was it with your family or was it
actually? Yes, actually I lived with my family until 1989. I was 29 years old and then I got married and then I had our own apartment. So I lived there and then I came to United States in 1992.
What was the marriage?
Well, it wasn't arranged marriage. It was a regular marriage. We dated maybe like a year. I was working in the military. I'm a cartographer. I'm a map maker. And in Turkey, guys have to go to military. They have to serve. Otherwise, they will drop their citizenship. So I was working in the military as a civilian. And then my ex-husband was a medical doctor. And he came to serve this military thing. So, and then we met there and we started dating for a while and then decided to get married and then we got married.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Oh yeah, yeah. We are 6 siblings. I have 3 sisters, 2 brothers.
Did you have your own room when you were growing up? Or?
No. It's not a common thing in Turkey. Especially if you have 6 kids. You have to live in a really big house. There's no way.
So how did you divide a space up that was your space? Or did you?
Well, actually, there was no my own space. I learned, you have to learn to share.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot look your own space. You know that you are going to be living with these people and you have to know how to share. Even like some part, I was sleeping with my sister,
mm-hmm.
and then I had my own room. Sometimes I just kick everybody, and then okay, this is my room. Just maybe because of that feeling, I wanted to have my own space. But more than having space, I think we feel those feeling having own other stuff. I don't know, maybe like special notebooks or very small thing, and you know that those are yours, your own thing.
When you moved to the United States and you had more space, did you get lonely?
Well, not really, because when I came to the United States, I didn't know any English, no English, and when I was in the plane, they skipped me. I don't know what was the reason. And I was hungry. And I didn't know how to ask, you know, to tell them that I'm hungry. And somebody asked me to bring some dessert, Turkish dessert called baklava. Maybe you know, supposed to Arabic people also make here. And I started making plans. I said, well, if they skip me this time, I'm going to eat that thing. And I don't care about the gift at all. So I think it was the last plane, finally, somebody asked me. And then, well, today I know what she asked me. She said chicken or fish or something like that. I just made a guess. I said chicken. The only thing that I knew, it was Coke. And I said, Coke. So finally, I had something to eat. Maybe for that reason, I didn't have time to feel myself alone. Because after I came here, exactly, I focused to learning English. And I didn't have time to think about if I'm alone or not.
Why did you come?
Well, I follow my husband, ex-husband. He came 9 months before than me, and I lived my family there for 9 months. He got accepted to the University of Michigan. And public health, his major was public health. And then, well, because we were married, so I came. I followed him, basically.
Was he Turkish?
Yeah.
But he spoke English?
Yeah, he doesn't have a problem. I mean, he was listening like American radios, American Voice, I think. Even he was going to bathroom with that little radio. Like, I cannot, you know, waste my time. I have to train my ear, something like that. So, yeah, I spent 2 years to learn English just to feel comfortable.
You got on the plane by yourself. By yourself.
Yeah, it was scary. I didn't know where I was going. Before I took the plane, I was in a bus station, which is very common in Turkey. It's cheap. And all my friends and my brothers and my mom, everybody was there and everybody was crying. And I didn't want them to get upset because that I was scared. So I try to seem calm down, and then I took the bus, and then I was alone, and then I started crying, and I didn't know where was I going, because, I mean, in Turkey, well, I know something about, you know, history of United States, but, like, my mom was so upset, she thought that they are going to kill me on the street in United States, I mean, because of those stupid movies. Everybody believes that, you know, life is exactly like that in United States. All kind of, like, action movies, soap operas. I mean, people believe that. I mean, there's no marriage here. Girls are, you know, sleep with everybody and all kind of stuff. I swear. And when I came here, I was shocked. My ex-husband was in Atlanta. He was working as an intern, so I came to Atlanta, and then he had a co-worker from Florida. She was also an intern, and she was divorced. She had two kids. So one day I just invited them for dinner, she and her two daughters, and then I cooked, of course. I prepared Turkish food, and then with that broken English, I was trying to communicate. It was hard. And then I drew pictures and, you know, paint some stuff. So I had some, like, nice kids picture that I painted. So I offered this to girls. I said, well, if you like it, you can take one. They were so excited, and they were, like, you know, surprised that I offered. So they picked one, and then maybe like after 2-3 weeks, my ex-husband came, and then he said the internship was done, so we had to go back to Michigan. But before school started, we had like maybe 15 or 20 days. So she offered us to go to Florida with them. And then, we asked our other Turkish people, and they said that, oh, no, she's not serious. She's just, you know, trying to be nice. And then my ex-husband asked me, what do you think? I said, well, I mean, if she's serious, why not? And then so we said, okay, and they were so happy that we are going with them. Like, after 2 days, her mom called her and asked her if I drink coffee or not, because she's not a coffee drinker. And then she asked my ex-husband, and he said, yeah, she does. And her mom went to shopping, got a coffee machine and coffee and everything was ready for me. So we went there and we stayed with them. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, Turkish people known with their hospitality, but the hospitals that I saw from them, I was shocked. And at that time, I mean, it was my first 3 months, I realized that the life is not in the movies in the United States. There is a family life. I mean, people have respect. Nobody's sleeping each other. And mothers are mothers, you know, they carry their kids. But we had different impact over there. We thought that, you know, mothers, they don't carry their kids and they are not good mothers and all kind of stuff. But so it was the first thing that I realized. So I was writing, oh my God, maybe like 8-9 pages letter to my family and giving all information that I'm having here.
We had talked before we started taping a little bit, and you said that people always ask you about Midnight Express, the movie, which would be like the equivalent.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that movie is really old, and I, believe me, I watched, I think last year, here in Bowling Green, some channel, and I was bored and I was playing with remote control, and I was like, oh my God, this is that movie. And then, because when people ask me, I didn't have, you know, no idea. I didn't know what to say. I was like, well, yeah, I heard something, but I don't know. It's exactly a political movie. There's nothing to do with, you know, Turkish prison, whatever. And it's so basic. I mean, in that movie, people speak Turkish. Those are not even like native speaker. Those are exactly people from Greece. It's exactly a political movie just to make, you know, bad influence for Turkey. And plus, I mean, you know, when we started, when was it, maybe 2 years ago, the American police, you know, they hit some Mexican in California. Do you remember? They taped that he was kicking people, something like that, yeah. Right. When people ask me, I ask them the same question. I said, do you think that the United States, all the police officers are nice? No, plus, I don't think the prisons are be, you know, like a palace. I mean, if the punishment, I mean, of course, I'm not saying that it should be in, you know, like that movie, but of course it should be a little bit uncomfortable. How are you going to stop people, you know, being illegal or being illegal, something like that. But, of course, I mean, I'm not saying the whole police officers are nice or whatever. So it's just, to me, it's a fake thing.
So, what did you think of Florida?
Well, I love it. I love it, and the only thing that I hate, roaches. Big and they fly, I hate it. But I like it, and I'm especially, excuse me, her family, and she took us her summer cottage in Sarasota. We stayed there. Like, we were going to shopping. I mean, she was forcing us to go and see, you know, around the city. And then when I came back, she gave us her bedroom, and she was sleeping with one of her daughters. And she changed the old, you know, pillows, covers and everything. She cleaned the bathroom. I was, you know, I feel so embarrassed. I was like, she shouldn't do that. And then when we are gonna leave, she woke up very early, and she made full cooler. She put like gods and eggs and foods and everything. And then I saw like big roll of paper, and I didn't know what she was carrying. And then she came, and then she knew that, you know, my English was very weak. She started talking very slowly, looking my eyes. She said, this is a map of United States. And then she showed me one key, and then she said, this is my house key. And she said, keep this too. And she said, this door always will be open to you guys. I still have that key. I mean, yeah, we still keep inside. And and after I went back to Michigan, she had a that kind of watch.
Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, Mickey Mouse. That it's plays Small World. Mm-hmm. We went to Disneyland and all kind of stuff, and I like it. And after, like, maybe 2 weeks after we went back to Michigan, postman came, and then he was carrying a package, and I was accepting a package from Turkey. I thought it's from my mom. And then when I opened, I was shocked. She sent me this watch, and she made a phone book for my ex-husband with his first name and last name. And then she put one of our pictures to frame. She was like between us, me and my husband. And I mean, I was like, wow. Yeah. And, well, in geographically, if I like Florida or not, I don't know. But she's my friend and I like her.
Yeah.
So then Florida makes something to me.
What brought you to Bowling Green?
Well, after my husband finished his study, we didn't have any, I mean, we didn't get any money from the government. So we came our own money. And because of that also, I had to wait for him, you know, to get a job, and then he would be able to support me to go to school. So he finished his school and he got a job, and then it was my turn. And in Turkey, I was working as a cartographer for 13 years. I didn't want to go to school for 4 years. So I thought that if I can, you know, find a 2-year school and then get my degree and then find a job and, you know, and then live happily after. It is unbelievable. I couldn't find any 2-year school in the United States except Bowling Green and one in Maryland. And then I asked several people. They said, oh, no, don't go to Maryland. It was... Even I don't remember the time. Plus, I didn't like their program because they focus on manual techniques, which I didn't need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Western's program, so I choose Bowling Green, Kentucky, Western Kentucky, and I applied and I got accepted. And then I came here 1995, January. So I've been almost 5 years.
Is that when y'all broke up, or...?
Well, actually, we were having some problems, and plus that one was another reason I didn't want to stay there. I just wanted to go far somewhere and just stay by myself and decide what I want to do.
What did you think Bowling Green was going to be like?
I didn't have no idea. I mean, it was like coming to United States. When I was in Turkey, I mean, I lived there for 32 years. Even like some people, if they don't know me, when they hear my name, they had some idea, you know, physically or about my personality. And nobody knew me here. So I had to start from the stretch, the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming to Bowling Green, it was another beginning also. I didn't know anybody here. My ex-husband and one of our friends, we drove together, and then they left me in a dorm. I was there again. So I think I am kind of like people-oriented person. So this is the reason I never ever, you know, had the kind of worries about what will happen to me if I'm gonna have friends and all kind of stuff. I knew that I will have a good relationship here.
I've met one other woman from Turkey here.
Uh-huh.
And are there any other people?
Well, actually, there's one faculty, and I think 2 years ago he got married, so his wife. Actually, I think she was a student here. And I know there's one Turkish guy, he got married to an American woman, and they have 2 kids. That's all I know.
So... there's a community that gets together for things, or?
You mean in Bowling Green?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Should be more people, I guess. Daphne and I, we see each other. But others are, you know, kind of couple and married. Their relationship is a little bit different than ours. Yeah.
What was your dorm like in Bowling Green, the first dorm?
Well, first I was a, you know, untraditional student, and I was 35 years old, and actually it was my best semester. I made really good GPA. I got really good motivation, but I didn't have any friends there. And I mean, I had my own room, I didn't have a roommate, but all girls are like 18, you know, 19, 20 years old girls, and I kind of feel myself old and a little bit far from them. And plus, Bowling Green, there are not many international people. They don't come to you. I have to go to them. I mean, first impression here, when I compare Michigan and Bowling Green, or let's say Michigan and Kentucky, that was the differences. Like, I was surprised when I went to, I think it was Kroger. I went to Kroger once, and then I wanted to buy a cold cut. So I said, have fun. She started laughing. She was like, you know, behind the counter, she was laughing and laughing. I was like, God, what did I say again? What did I say? You know, what's my mistake? And then she stopped. She said, honey, you said the wrong thing. I said, what am I going to say? She said, you will say, health. I said, well, did you understand what I mean? She said, yeah, sure. I said, so what is the point? And then I think she got kind of like upset. She was like, oh, honey, don't be, you know, feel blah, blah, blah. I was just, yeah, trying to help you. I said, okay, thank you. That kind of small thing. I mean, in Michigan, people don't pay attention to your accent. Just they are trying to understand what you are talking about. Or just, you know, they are trying to communicate with you. At the beginning, I had that kind of problem. And I don't know, maybe during these 5 years, I mean, it's so obvious that Bowling Green is really, you know, getting bigger. And I can see that Bowling Green is having more international people. Because before, always I got the same question. They looked at me, you know, I don't look at Chinese or Asian. So the second guess, they thought that I'm from somewhere South America. Even like they didn't ask me, like, which part, you know, from South America. I'm like, I'm not from South America. Sometimes I meet people and they never know where is Turkey. Even, you know, they didn't know where is Europe. That kind of thing.
I've had people tell me that they were Russian when they were Ukrainian for that same type of reason. Or even Armenian.
Yeah.
Somebody has done this. Well, Russian. That.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it's not easy. I mean, when I look from their point, I can understand. But like, if you go to Turkey, if you wanna, you know, if you try to say something in Turkish, oh my God, people are gonna get crazy about you. I was like, oh, they're gonna say, oh, look, she's trying to say something. You know, they would love it. They would love it. Just say we're going to try to understand you. Yeah.
Do you miss Turkey?
Well, I don't miss Turkey, but I miss my family. And after I came to the United States, I just find out that there's no perfect place. And I believe that we are making the perfect place. It, you know, depends on you, depends on people. So right now, I mean, to me, it doesn't matter. I can go back to Turkey. I can live there. But right now, I'm 39. I don't want to start from the beginning again because I lost my old connection in Turkey. I mean, when I came, like, maybe first 2 years, we were keeping touch and writing and all kind of stuff. But, I mean, today, when I go to Turkey, the only people that I visit my family. I mean, 8 years is kind of long, I guess, and that's kind of weird. When I go there, I don't feel myself at home at all. I mean, one of my friends asked me one day, he said, which part of Turkey you feel that you are belong? And I told all the cities that I lived, and I said, Ann Arbor, which is in Michigan. I was living there. I felt myself that way. I mean, you know, all relationships and wherever you live, I think the home is there.
Do you think you're going to stay in Bowling Green?
I don't think so. Well, I mean, I love Bowling Green. I'm not crazy about big cities, maybe because I live in big cities in Turkey. This is the reason, especially, like, I hate that heavy traffic. I hate it. And, but because of my professionality, I don't have too many chance here. So that's the first reason I should go another place. That's the reason.
What would you miss the most if you left?
Bowling Green? Of course, my friends. First, I'll miss them. Well, I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm going to leave and I'm not going to be back. No, of course, I will visit my friends and I'll be back sometimes. And, I mean, I got my education here and I appreciate that. And I learned a lot here, so I will never forget it. I'll be back.
You'll be back.
Actually, Bowling Green is a perfect place to raise kids, so if I have kids one day, I may come back and settle down in Bowling Green.
You talked about food and that you make traditional Turkish food.
Yes.
What, do you have a hard time getting the ingredients to make it here? Or?
No, not really. That's the reason, I think, one of the nice places to, you know, the United States, because of diversity, and, I mean, you can find everything. So, like, for example, when I was in Michigan, I prepared Turkish food again, and there was a Turkish faculty, and also I just invited all my teachers and everybody, so he was there. He was shocked. He was like, how did you cook this? This is exactly the same taste that I had in Turkey. I said, well, the same way I cooked. No, I mean, yeah, if you want to do something, no, it will not be, it's not going to be a problem.
Do you cook Turkish food daily?
Yeah.
That's what you eat most of the time?
Yes. Unfortunately, I don't like fast food.
What is Turkish food exactly?
Well, we have lots of meat, mm-hmm. and also we have lots of vegetable, and I think Turkish kitchen is heaven for the vegetarian people. We have lots of food without meat, and because of the Ottoman Empire, you know, during the Ottoman Empire, they captured lots of land, and of course, wherever they went, they took their culture with them, themselves, plus they adopt the new culture. So for that reason, we have lots of food very close to European food. We have lots of food very close to Arabic food. I mean, lots of things is very close with Greek food, for example. I mean, if I want to eat Turkish food out, and if there's no Turkish restaurant, I'll pick Greek restaurant. Almost same.
Did you go down to Nashville?
I always wanted. I mean, I did several times, but unfortunately I couldn't learn. Still, when I go there, I use maps. And 2 years ago, I had different friends, so they graduated, they left, and we drove there several times. We had fun. I think that's the other thing makes Bowling Green, you know, most nice place to live, you know, if you want to go to a big city here in Nashville or Louisville. If you want to, you know, live in a nice place, it's quiet. Here it is, Bowling Green again.
How about holidays? What holidays do you celebrate?
Oh, God. You will not believe it. Okay, a year is 352 days, right? Mm-hmm. Basically, in Turkey, we have, like, almost every year 100 days holidays. Plus, if holidays is, like, Thursday, so government lets down, you know, shut down the offices and everything for the Friday, and then it will be, like, 4 whole days, and, like, people would get their suitcases and go to beaches, do something, and then come back again. We have lots of holidays, yeah. I actually still work in the same place. I think it was Christmas, yeah. And my boss said that, I mean, he was joking. He said that I should come and work because I'm not a Christian. I said, well, fine. Then, let's say I'm a Muslim, and then during, you know, Muslim holiday, then you should give me paid vacation. He just thought a little bit. He said, no. Because we have a lot.
Yeah. Do you celebrate holidays here then? Do you get together with people?
Well, actually, I think it was last year I heard that in Western Kentucky University, some Muslim faculties or students were going to celebrate end of Ramadan. So the Ramadan that, you know, they didn't eat for 30 days and all kind of things. So end of the Ramadan, we have 3 or 4 days holidays. And they invited me, but I am not really a religious person. So this is the reason I have no idea when is Ramadan, when is the other thing. Just people call me and say, well, this is. I'm like, fine.
New Year's, the name is... What's the Muslim name for New Year's?
I don't know. We call it New Year's.
Okay, well, that's good. Maybe it's Baz.
Oh, maybe.
It's a different name. It's about New Year's. Do you celebrate New Year's?
Yeah. And some, like, I mean, even in Turkey, some fundamentalist Muslim people, they are very against to celebrate New Year's because of Jesus and all kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we do, like, shows, and here it's not really crazy,
right. But,
I mean, people will get wild over there to celebrate New Year's. And it is interesting that we also ate turkey during the New Year's. It's very, very specific food for the New Year's.
Turkey?
Uh-huh.
How did you cook it?
I don't know, with my mom. I think just boil and serve with rice. And what else we did? And also some people do like Christmas tree, but of course over there they call New Year's tree. It's not Christmas
really?
Tree.
Really?
Yeah. And of course people give gifts each other.
This is Muslim people doing this?
Well, actually Turkey is not like other Middle East countries. I think say, almost 100 years ago, after Ottoman Empire, we got democracy, and the Turkey was the first secular country in the Middle East. So, I mean, the religion and the politics is totally different government. I mean, there's nothing to do each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you don't have to cover your hair, or you don't have to, you know, wear that long, that kind of stuff, or cover your face, something like that. And my mom is 63 now, I guess, and I never seen her using scarf. And for that reason, Middle Eastern people think that we are too westernized for the Muslim society. Yeah.
Different.
It is different.
I wonder, with all of the Europeans that are living here now, if New Year's will become bigger. Because there's a lot of people that have talked about New Year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even people from Vietnam and Cambodia, that's a big holiday. It's a big holiday for everyone.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
Especially Bowling Green.
Yeah.
And I just wonder.
Yeah, I mean, well, to me, I don't think it's a, you know, religion or something. It's something to celebrate, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Something to just, you know, remember your loved people and just, you know, send them cards or call them or give them gifts. I mean, that's the reason. And plus, you know, one more year, we are getting old, why are we not going to celebrate?
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
How about like Thanksgiving and the American holidays? When did you start? Do you celebrate those at all?
Well, no, not really. But, I mean, of course, my friend invites me and I go, you know, and of course, when I go there, they don't expect me to do something special. Even, I mean, you don't do a special thing, but I just respect, but in my heart, no, I don't celebrate. But
But yeah. Again, celebration is celebration. Thanksgiving is a good thing. People come together, whole family, you know, at least once a year. Because in the United States, you know, all families, people are, you know, living in different places. So it's a good idea. At least once a year, they come.
June 4th. Tell me about Turkish coffee.
Oh. Well, actually, it's like cappuccino, but the way we cook, that makes Turkish coffee. And we drink with little cup, and it has to be foam top of it. If it's not foam, it means you are not a good coffee maker. They will give you a negative point. And actually, after we drank coffee, we put upside down and start telling each other as a fortune teller, just, you know, see the tracks and make some stories about that person, and just for fun. But usually we drank at least 3 times a day, a little cup of Turkish coffee. And it is strong. It is very strong. Maybe this is the reason we use little cup.
Do you just drink one cup when you sit down to do it?
Yeah. There's no way. I never seen some people that, you know, they will ask to take one.
Do people sit down together to do it? Does everybody stop what they do and sit down?
You mean,
to drink a cup of coffee, or?
No, just they will talk and, you know, drink the coffee. And then after that, start that form part, especially women, not men.
Uh-huh. What are the patterns? Like if you to do the fortune telling, what's like an example?
Well, let's see. For example, if you see something like a dog, it means you have an enemy, for example. So if you see like straight line, it means that you will have a trip. If that part is like kind of closed, you will, you can say that that person is planning having a trip, but it will not come true. Something is going to happen then, and then that person will not be able to take that trip. And what else? Camels are not good if you see camels. Birds are good. It means you are going to have good news.
This is the ground, okay,
yeah.
Because there's a little bit of ground, so you just turn it over.
Yeah, Turkish coffee, you will have ground. So, yeah, the difference is between cappuccino and Turkish coffee, I think it's the ground part. And when I make Turkish coffee to my American friends, they kind of get, you know, like, oh, this is disgusting, what is this? I told them not to drink, you know, all of it, I'll like, leave it.
That's your fortune. How did you learn to do that?
Well, I learned from my mom, just, you know, to listen to her, and then I was curious, and I was asking her, like, how do you know this? So she started showing me and explained to me, and then I started doing that. Well, sometimes it sounds true.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, but it is.
Yeah. All right, you dance. You're a belly dancer.
Belly? Not a professional one. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I do. I love belly dance.
How did you learn to do that?
Well, again, in Turkey, then you have, like, girls' day, you know, just we come together and, you know, eat and not drink alcohol, but coffee, tea, whatever. Probably, I mean mostly, end of it, we are going to start dancing. It's just a costume. I guess it's just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
So actually I learned from my mom's sister. My mom cannot dance, oh she's so bad. But my aunt, she's really good. And so she taught me some part, and then when I was watching, you know, professional belly dancers, I watched them very carefully and I got their movements. And then tried several times and I got it. Yeah.
So how often do you dance?
Well, whenever I want. I am dancing. If I'm dancing by myself, I'm doing like an exercise. It is really tough exercise. It's better than aerobics. And sometimes even like when I'm alone at home, I just wear my costumes and start dancing by myself.
We were talking with Daphne, I think, about how you learn the movements. For instance, say an American woman who hasn't seen a lot of dancing doesn't catch on really quick.
Uh-huh.
And
if you do the belly dance, to me, it's my opinion, you have to feel the music. I mean, for example, my sister, she loves belly dance, but she cannot. She just cannot follow the music. That's her problem. And when I try to teach people, I told them to pay attention to drum. So if you follow drum and then move your hips or whatever part you want to, move, if you go parallel with drum, you will be fine. And there are some tricky things, like if you try to make an 8 with your hips, of course you are going to be slow at the beginning, like making 8 like this, and then make it faster, and then suddenly you will see yourself that you are doing it. Actually, when I was a teenager, we had one professional belly dancer. I love her, and there are lots of course belly dancers in Turkey, and most of them look so cheap, they are just kind of like body showing thing. I hate that. I don't like it. But this
kind
woman,
of like what? But
showing their body.
Oh body, okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's like wearing the sexy costumes and no art, basically, to me, no aesthetics. But that woman, she danced for the Egyptian king. She was that famous. Now she has a school, belly dance school, and she's teaching. And I watched her performance. It was unbelievable. Everywhere was so quiet. Even like, you wouldn't take a breath. Just, watching her. She was there and she was like feeling herself and her movement. Beautiful. So I learned lots of stuff from her movement. I'm not dancing like others. I'm dancing like her.
So it's not so much a sexy thing, but
no, actually not. No, it's belly dance is not that. And I don't know the story, real story about belly dance, how it became a belly dance. And I know the one story because of Sultan. And Sultan says, had like 40, 50 wives. And one of them created belly dance just to get his attention, to be with him that night. And then of course, after that, other wives also started learning. And then it became like kind of entertainment for the Sultan, actually. But today for everybody.
So do people dance for men or women and men? I guess when you were talking about the children or the young girls, they would dance with each other.
Yeah.
Or
and
dancing together.
Yeah,
together.
Basically, there is no, no, it's not for men.
Okay.
But men don't belly dance. And if they do, they're going to think that he's a guy, gay.
Mm-hmm.
So belly dance for women.
What do men do?
Oh, they have different kind of dance style. But if somebody is, belly dancing there, they will just sit and watch.
Okay.
Or just, try to be in stage, but not to do belly dance. They will not.
When do people belly dance in Turkey? Whenever? Or
when? Well, almost every restaurant has their professional belly dancer. And usually they have, it's not a band, but maybe just one singer.
Mm-hmm.
He plays and sings, and then after that, most of the places will have belly dancers. Some places not. Bars, for example, you cannot see belly dancers there, but most of the restaurants. And some, I'll say casino, but casino is not like a gambling casino.
Mm-hmm.
When I say casino, it's like you can sit and have, you know, dinner and listen to music and all kinds of stuff, that kind of in Turkish. And yeah, and plus like weddings are, God, big thing to dance. Well, we have a statement in Turkey. They said that if you go to a wedding, you have to dance. If you go to a funeral, you have to cry. So you have to prepare yourself. If you are going to a wedding, you have to dance. Or they will force you. You cannot say no. Yeah.
Is there a set dance, or do people just get together, or does one person do the dance?
No. All just the other rest all together.
Everybody.
I mean, that kind of dance is today is like kind of folklore dance.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, several rules and they get together, and of course everybody cannot dance with them. They are kind of professional. And actually, when I was in Turkey, I was a folkloric dancer also. I was in a, not a private club, but it was kind of an association, something like that. So, yeah, I was doing folk dance also.
Who did you dance for?
We had, like, national celebration days, and we traveled, go to that village, and we had, like, costumes. Whichever the part is danced along, we had to wear that costume and then do that dance. And I love it because every dance has a meaning. I mean, every movement has a meaning when you dance, and if you know it, it makes difference. Of course, I'm an audience, they don't know, but we always try to give them some knowledge, you know, what that means. Like, for example, we have one dance, north part of Turkey, and girls are dancing very slow, like a butterfly, and it's a special thing you have to learn. I mean, when they look at you, they will think that you are sliding, not walking. And like very, I mean, they look very fragile and all kind of stuff. And the guys came, like, you know, with muscles and jumping and all kind of stuff. The whole story, the leader of the guy fell in love with one of the girls, and of course other guys also like that girl, so they are trying to get her attention, and they are doing like very hard movement and just, you know, to be back for her that she can pick one of them. And then every time when they finish their movement, whatever they are doing for her, they pull him, her, and if she doesn't like, she just, I mean, when she was dancing, she just turned her face to the other side. It means, I don't like you. So he left, and another comes, and all kind of stuff. And then all girls and guys come together and just, you know, make a circle and dance together. And guys were trying to see the girls' face, and then girls were, you know, trying to cover their face and all kind of stuff. It is interesting. I love it. I mean, I love to dance with the whole that story, if you know if it's a meaning.
Have you met other people in the United States that dance, that you've been able to dance with?
You mean folk dance?
Yeah.
When I was in Michigan, in University of Michigan, there are lots of Turkish students, and they have really big Turkish student association. So we had a folk group there, and we danced, yeah. And even like, we had two American friends there, they came and they learned, they danced with us. I mean, even like, that was a huge audience.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one guy, one girl, and they enjoyed it. And I was trying to tell them the story, what's going on, why we are doing this, and they love those costumes. It's kind of heavy, but something different.
What were the costumes for the butterfly and the...
Well, actually, it's like satin, and I don't know how can I explain. Very nice dress, very nice, and they have like long kind of scarf, very long, because when you dance, you have to hold two parts and then dance with both. It has to be that way.
So that you hold it in your hand.
Yeah.
And move it around.
Yeah.
The scarf.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, people love it. And we had a little group there, and band, Turkish band, of course. So I was a singer of the band.
You know all this.
I just like that kind of stuff, I guess.
You think I'm not going to ask you to sing a song?
Oh, my God. Well, if I start, it's going to be hard to stop me then.
Well, tell me about your belly dancing costume. If you'd like, would you like to get it, or?
No, yeah, I don't have a photograph. So. It's handmade, actually. I mean, it's, everything is handmade. And,
oh my goodness.
Okay, so this is the skirt part, like little pieces, you know, when you move.
Uh-huh.
So you move it like this. And then top of it, you are going to put that
one.
Oh,
that's so beautiful. That is so bright.
So that's the tricky part. So when you put, yeah, you should, they should see your belly button.
Okay, so that goes around.
Yeah, it goes around like this. See, they especially put this because when you move, it's easy to see your movement.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not... See,
for
look,
the French...
When I do this, uh-huh. Make, you know, yeah, I am moving, but look at this.
Oh, yeah.
So...
So this, did the same woman make the dress that did all this bead work?
Yes.
It was a woman.
Even like... I mean, they didn't
close
by themselves. And also, I mean, that lady, she also designed those stuff by herself.
She made the designs by herself?
Yeah, yeah. She has different kind of... So this is the top part.
Oh, my gosh.
So she did, like, a little bit this thing. I like that part. So you look like this.
I have to have one.
So, like that. Yeah, so when you dance, when you do belly dance, if you move your hip, your shoulder and dress should move.
Mm-hmm.
If you are dancing the top part,
mm-hmm.
then you should keep straight your hip. So again, this part still helps
okay.
when you, you know, do some stuff like that.
Oh. Are these are flowers? What are these designs?
Yeah, actually this is tulip. It's actually it's Ottoman Empire's symbol.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is.
It's just, yeah, it's this kind of same stuff.
Okay.
And
this is so I can't believe it. Each little sequin has little.
Yeah, I mean they thought you know
beads.
one. And this is kind of bracelet, just
uh-huh.
an accessory or something. Because when you know belly dance, you have to use your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put something in your hand, it's, you know, it will be kind of
flashier.
Nice. Yeah. And so she made it snake. Like, you're going to put like this, and then...
Oh. Very flashy.
And then she made this one. Actually, it seems very simple. You can put it in your head. Like that.
So did she make this one just for you, or?
Well, no, actually she is making and selling. She is selling
mm-hmm.
to Europe. She is living with that. And,
uh-huh.
And she lives very close to my mom, and they know her. This is her mother. And this is a scarf that, see, when you do belly dance, you can use whatever you want. For example,
mm-hmm.
that lady that I was, you know, talking about, that the best belly
yeah.
dancer, once she used the stick, that, you know, old people use when they walk. What do you call
right,
it?
A cane?
Yeah. She danced with that.
Wow.
Oh, God. I mean, she's very creative. So, this lady made that one. And when you dance, you know, you can use it. Do some stuff and whatever you want, you know. It's really that there's no rules. When you, when you know the simple movement, you can make your own style.
That is just, this is great. I can't believe that the beads don't break.
Yeah, she said that, I mean, you know, some of them, some other people that they make, it's not good, but she said that she sells to professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that, I mean, one of the belly dancers, she's using the costume for 10 years. And she gave me a guarantee. She said that those are not going to fall off.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was there and she had like different colors, and you know, I was like, oh my god, this one is good, this one is good. So my mom was with me, and then I picked that one.
And you told your mom it was for someone else, right?
Oh, yeah. And my mom told, no. My mom knew that I was buying for myself.
Oh, shit.
But,
okay.
Yeah, just she didn't want her neighbors to know that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yeah, that poor lady thinks that I got this one for some American lady as a gift. Different culture. Yeah, old people have more rules than younger.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. Middle life is fun.
Alright, how about a song? Would you do it? You don't have to if you don't want to, but...
No, I can,
okay,
but,
good.
God.
Why don't you tell me about it?
What kind of, like, I mean, for example, we have, God, maybe 3 different original Turkish, you know, style, like folk songs. We call Turkish art music, I mean, there's nothing to do with art, but just we call it that way. It's kind of, it is different. And of course, we have Turkish pop, and of course, we have Turkish country. Actually, we didn't call Turkish. I mean, country we call Arabesque.
Arabesque?
Uh-huh. And actually, sometimes we made a fun, we said that trap drivers music.
Sing an old Turkish song.
You know, like kind of, old.
That you like, maybe, that you grew up with.
Well, yeah, I am old. I always old. Yeah, my mom always sung us. I mean, you know, Turkish music were our lullabies. So even like when I was a teenager, you know, like when I was 17 or 18, if I couldn't sleep, I was like, Mom, you know, call her from my room, and she was like, What? Okay, no, sing one. She never says no. So she does, and then maybe this is the reason I got the rhythm very good from her. She has really good voice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm thinking, what should I sing? Okay, I'll sing one, and the composer of the singer, he died last year, I think. And he was one of the biggest composers and singers in Turkey.
Bir
demet yasemen aşkımın tek hatırası dinmiyor gönlümün bitmiyor ayrılık hicran
That's it.
That song is something about missing somebody that it hurts because that people is, you know, not with him or her, whatever.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, thank you.
How about a lullaby? You do a lullaby.
Oh God, if I should remember. Oh, I know one. I remember because I always talk to my brother, little brother. remember. Akşam olur gün batar, derecik yatmaz olur. Akşam olur gün batar, derecik yatmaz olur. İçimi bir keder kaplar, beni uyutmaz olur. Uyu, uyu güzel dere. Göz yaşı dökme boş yere. This one is about a river, and saying that that river should go to sleep and stop crying. That tears for nothing. It's the sleeping time. But it's the river. Yeah.
Oh, this is beautiful. You do have a beautiful voice.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's beautiful. You're in trouble next time we're drinking at the backyard.
Well, if you enjoy the Turkish music, that's fine.
Oh, I do. I love it. That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Thanks.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to talk about or say? This is a tape. It's going, as we've talked about, it'll be in the archives.
Uh-huh.
So if you have children one day, or, you know, family members or something, years and years and years from now,
uh-huh,
they would go and listen. What would you want them to know? What would you want somebody to know that's Bowling Green 100 years from now?
Well, God, who knows what will happen to Bowling Green?
Yeah.
I like being here, and I made really, really good friends, and I will always keep in touch with them, and I hope it's not going to change within 100 years. I hope people are going to be still friendly and nice as today.
Anything else that you want to say?
That's it.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, welcome.
We'll
I enjoyed
the interview.